The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer.
What's up, brother?
Live from Bar Canada, the Dave's Hattonin.
Not much. Got an extra shot of espresso today.
Did you?
I was not proud of myself yesterday on the show. I was a little sleepy, a little tired. I don't know what was wrong with
me. You want to know my story for today?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I do. I do. We're
so,
going to talk about this really quick before the show.
So my cousin's, well, I didn't tell you the whole thing. So my cousin's daughter, who lives in Israel, we talk pretty much every night now.
Yeah, I
and
can imagine.
She's kind of my person. And, you know, I'll take any call. She's like, are you going to sleep? I'm like, yeah, but you can call me. So I go to sleep at like midnight. Mm-hmm. No biggie. You know, that's not a crazy thing.
Yeah.
3 a.m, smoke alarm battery goes off, right? So this constant, by the way, it's so much louder than your standard alarm. And in the middle of the night, I'm up and it's situated in a point where you have to kind of contort your body. It's not like easy.
Wait, is the one where you're getting it like every 10 minutes where it's like beep, beep.
10 minutes. Beep, beep. Talk about like 20 seconds.
So the alarm goes off. The alarm was
not
going
off. Not the
alarm. Not the battery.
No, the battery beep. So it's okay. Like, oh, you need to replace your battery.
Okay.
I took the battery out. Guess what happened? Kept beeping.
They all
couldn't,
do that. I don't know why.
Pull it out of the wall. The one in San Francisco works fine. You could just do it. It's real easy. This one, it was like I was trying to crack a code of some kind. Anyway, it's still back at the place beeping right now.
I've had multiple where you finally get to that point. You take the battery out and you're like, why is this still beeping? This should not work. I have removed the power source.
Of course, I didn't have a like standard 9-volt on site to replace it with.
That's the other thing, right? Yeah. These battery companies, you know, they're really swindling you. You know, it's like, why can't we just make everything double A's? Why we got to have all these different kinds of batteries?
Anyway, so I haven't slept since then. I'm wide awake. Oh, yes. We have a good show, by the way. Should I mention that? Will Hill to talk NFL and college football with us, not to mention Major League Baseball, all of his plays. Mike Pritchard on the show. Got to talk Colorado with him. Sort of contractually obligated. As tough as that discussion might be, won't be that tough. Get his thoughts on just what's going on in the NFL. What does he make of the poor offensive play league-wide? We'll get into that as well. And Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke talking Major League Baseball playoffs, which is just, if you have just been betting the Phillies over and over and over, and I just hope you have, run line, whatever. What an ATM machine this postseason has been. The Phillies get it done last night. Final score, 10-0, in case you went to bed early. They do so by virtue again of solo shots. Trey Turner in the first, Kyle Schwarber on the very first pitch at the bottom of the third to make it 2-0. Kyle Schwarber again, solo shot in the sixth. That was followed by 3 more runs in the sixth, 4 more in the seventh, 10-0. Philadelphia Phillies. They take a 2-0 lead in the best of 7 National League Championship Series for the Phillies now. That is 46 runs in their 8 postseason games. By the way, that's 13 solo shots in a row.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's one of the weirdest things ever. 13 solo shots in a row.
I actually didn't know what the number was, but I was even thinking about it last night. I'm like, this has to be 6 or 7 in a row. It was 13.
13 in a row. 16 of their 19 postseason home runs have been solo shots.
Wow.
They have slugged 16 homers over the last 5 games, which is more than any other MLB team over a 5-game stretch in a single postseason. I think it's actually 15 homers in 4 games, if I'm not mistaken. But they have just been unbelievable. And so, Phillies backers, you're minus 750 now to win that series. The Diamondbacks, if you have any interest in the D-backs coming back, it's plus 550. Game 3 of the ALCS with the Rangers with home field now. Remember, they won their first 2 games at Houston. They take the trip up the road to Arlington here for Game 3 tonight. Astros plus 360 if you have interest in playing the Astros to still win this series. It is going to be Christian Javier against Max Scherzer tonight. I will be on the Astros tonight. I do believe, and again, I have that exact of Phillies over Astros. Is it colored by that? I don't know about that. I just think it's one of these things where we don't know where we're going to get from Max Scherzer. In the case of Christian Javier, again, we said this before his last start in the postseason. Your numbers haven't really mattered with some of these pitchers, especially at Houston, when they get to the postseason. Javier, who, you know, strikeout rate was 10% lower this year than it had been, career, or should say from last year. And His slider has been down in terms of velo. Yet he comes out, he throws five scoreless innings against Minnesota, gives up one hit, five walks, nine strikeouts in that one. His postseason ERA career 1.91 in 37 2/3 postseason innings career, three playoff starts, 16 1/3 in the three playoff starts, 16 1/3 scoreless innings, two hits and 10 walks to 23 strikeouts. So listen, do you like that? By the way, last time he played at Globe Life Field, that was his worst outing of the season. It should be pointed out, 8 runs in 4 1/3. But with Scherzer, there's many more question marks with him. Just everything down this year from Scherzer, even when he was pitching. His average fastball velocity is now below 93 miles per hour. Continues to go downward. His strikeout rate, his lowest since 2013. His walk rate is highest in a full season since 2013. His home run rate higher than it's ever been. I'll take my shot with Houston as a slight dog today. Plus 116 is what we're showing consensus. So that is the play in game three. If the Astros don't win this, it's pretty much Katie bar the door. Yes, it has happened in baseball history where a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit. But as you know, it's quite rare. Can't think of any off the top of your head. Quite rare. And so Red Sox.
When's the last time Scherzer pitched?
He pitched. What was it?
Like he's been out a while.
Yes,
right?
He's been out. Mm-hmm. He's been out.
Is this not odd to bring someone back in the middle of a series like this?
Yeah, he missed 5 weeks.
I understand it's Max Scherzer, but still.
Well, that's the thing. He missed 5 weeks with a strained teres major muscle in his right shoulder.
Yeah, I feel you, Max.
He had a 3.20 ERA in his starts with Texas. 8 starts with Texas. The worst, by the way, against the Astros, it should be pointed out. But it is a weird thing. There is some awkwardness for sure. I don't know if they admit this, but like Bruce Bochy having to sort of insert him now when the Rangers are 7-0 in this postseason, and now Maxie's going to go in there, and he has the potential to give up home runs. That's always, even in his best of times, that's always been his bugaboo.
I just don't know if you're the Phillies or the Rangers. I wouldn't be messing with anything right now. I mean, these two teams are cruising.
I don't see how the Phillies are getting beat by anybody.
Me either. Yeah. Me either. And I haven't been hitting it every game, but yeah, these past couple games, it's been Phillies every time. And the Rangers, I've bet the past couple games, but I don't know. I think I'm with you. I think I might just be landing on the Astros today simply because I don't know if you should be bringing back Scherzer.
It's bad for Major League Baseball if the Rangers win tonight.
Yeah.
Oh boy. If they win tonight, this is another postseason round that might just be gone in a blink of an eye. And then we're going to have a big rest before the World Series if this happens. We'll see. By the way, if you're in a BVP, batter versus pitcher, which I rarely am because rarely is there a sample size meaningful enough to really extend into anything predictive. But if you do like that kind of thing tonight and you're thinking about props, Michael Brantley props might be your thing. 20 of 54 with 8 doubles, a triple, and 3 homers lifetime against Max Scherzer. So throw that out there. We didn't get to talk about Monday guessing lines, which we usually lead off the show with, or yesterday is Survivor. Survivor, of course, we do it through the prism of Circa. I am out. Kelly is out. We're both gone. But we promise, yeah. Just because we're gone, we're not going to stop talking about it. And the reason that it sort of went by the wayside this week is barely anybody got knocked out. Barely anybody got knocked out this week, week number 6. In fact, a grand total of 47 entries got knocked out of Survivor this week. That leaves 1,789 remaining entries out of the initial 9,267. That is 80.69% gone. And again, if you ooh and ah at the 80.69%, let me remind you that last year at this time, do you know what percentage was gone last year at this time?
89.3%.
93.8%. And remember, there was over 6,000 last year. So at this point last year, there were fewer than 400 entries left. Last year was bananas.
Oh, man.
Fewer than 400. And remember, a few people got to the promised land, got all the way to the end.
Was it at this point last year that we started talking to Bob DeLuca?
Yeah, right? I think this was it.
Right, because it was very minimal left.
That's
right. And there were certain people that had 5, and he had 5.
Well, he had 6.
Sorry.
And he was going all in on the Bills, and they famously, I believe, lost in Yeah, that was that. Sorry, Bob. We love you, Bob. Yep. Crush them sports. But this week, everybody won. Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, Jaguars. Only the most that got knocked out on any team was the Eagles, and only 25 had them. So you have, as compared to last year, way, I mean, obviously a much bigger percentage still remaining. You also, I'll just, again, juxtapose it against the very first year of Survivor 3 years ago. You have more entries still remaining in Survivor now than you did to begin the first year of Survivor. So it's still infancy at this point. Just under 1,800 entries left. We got 1,789 left. Intrinsic value of each, Kelly, $5,179.99. When I, after week three, finally went in and tried to like script out some stuff, this was the week to play Seattle hosting Arizona because I didn't have Buffalo left.
Yep.
So I think there's going to be a massive percentage on the Seahawks this week.
I was just looking this over, too. I think that is the, you know, assuming you have them left, assuming you haven't plotted out another spot for them, I think they are the team this week.
Week 7 this week and week 9 in 2 weeks appear to be the weeks that are just really difficult to come by. That is, if you wave off the fact that the team that I have next week slotted in was the Chargers, which is never a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
So it feels like Seahawks this week, Chargers next. If you have them available, it's hard to determine what you have. But this is where I think zigging while everybody zags. Because if there is a blow up and the Seahawks lose, I think a mess of those 1,700 plus are going to get knocked out this week.
And the intrinsic value, when you see that no pick, someone didn't get a pick in.
Someone still didn't get a pick in. We'll talk about wild card odds. Not to make the playoffs, not to win the conference, but wild card odds next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With all four major sports in action, and a special numbers game investigation reveals that will be on Tuesday when basketball begins, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Oh, yeah. By the way, we got a tweet from Wreakin' Havoc. Wreakin' Havoc is making fun of me. He says, Gil, those have a clip. Talking about the smoke detector now. He said, those have a clip that locks in the cable for the smoke detectors, lift up and pull. He LOL'd me. Now, let me explain to you, Wreakin' Havoc. I am a skilled veteran smoke detector battery and disabler veteran. And this one does not work like the one in San Francisco. This one, I did take the battery out, then I pulled it from the wall, and then you try to remove the cable. There is no lever to remove it. What did you do with yours when this happened?
How the hell does that happen? Yeah, what happened with me with that was I yanked it. I think I yanked it a little too hard, and it kind of broke. And then I was like, well, I kind of broke it. Let me just rip the whole thing out then.
I was unwilling to do that.
Yeah, I kind of broke it. Smoke detector ain't going to do any good. Might as well just break the whole thing and shut it up.
Jesse Welch, this is good right here. He says, I brought this up earlier, this AM, but he says, how can Yordan Alvarez tonight, over a half a walk, not be the most simple handicap of the postseason? They absolutely cannot give this man something to hit. Three walks and 10 at-bats versus Scherzer. I would call the simplest handicap just pounding the Phillies all the time. That's been the simplest. But yes, I would think that, that's what I saw, minus 120 on that this morning for over. That's a good bet. It's a good bet. There's one of those bets.
Man, you dive deep on the props.
You got to be willing to lose one of those, I would imagine. Let's talk about, we talked a little bit about division odds that currently exist in the NFL, and specifically we did it regarding the AFC North yesterday and how that's a log jam, and we felt like Baltimore was a little too short. Pittsburgh was a little too short on the other side of that. And Baltimore and Cincinnati 1, Baltimore 2, have the toughest remaining schedules for the rest of the year in the National Football League. So you have to consider schedule when considering any of these season-long bets. DraftKings has put together a little creative market. This is not to win a division. This is not to win conference, Super Bowl. This is not make-miss playoffs. This is to be a wild card team, to be a wild card seed. So not to win your division, but to be one of the three teams in the NFC or the AFC, respectively, that make the postseason. So this is sort of like, it's not exactly like this, but I used to say when we talk college basketball, how much I love the NIT market.
Yeah,
because you can't be good. You can't be that good, but you got to be good enough. And then with the NIT thing, you got to be motivated to win the whole thing at that point as well. So that's a little more complicated in terms of just levels of handicap. This is just simply, okay, you're going to get there to the playoffs, but you're not winning your division. So you got to be boxed out by a team. That's why the Cowboys are the shortest shot in the NFC at plus 140, the assumption being that the Eagles will be the team to box them out. The Seahawks, likewise, are the second short shot at plus 170, the assumption being that the Niners will box them out. Then it gets kind of weird.
Yeah.
The Rams are only plus 180. The Eagles would have to fall behind, one would assume the Cowboys, with apologies to Washington and the Giants. The Eagles are plus 180. And then you have a mess of NFC North and South teams where it's just throw them all up in the air.
Right, yeah.
And good luck. And you do see the Commanders in there from the NFC East at plus 350 mixed in. I will tell you this. I looked at this at length. And while it is a fabulously interesting market, I'm not sure there's a great bet here.
Really? Okay.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think? Let me guess what you said.
What do you think?
You said the Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, plus 170.
Seattle Seahawks. Only because I think that Cowboys one, I don't even think that'd be a bad bet. I don't think that would be a bad bet, but I think that the Seahawks are more in a position. First of all, Seahawks are getting healthier. That shouldn't be overlooked as you go into betting this week and beyond. The secondary is getting healthy. They finally had, the five starters that they planned on at the beginning of the year actually start there last week against Cincinnati. So they got one game under their belt with that secondary back. You're getting the offensive tackles back that were out for a couple games. So I think this team's getting better and better. And to me, Gil, I think the odds dictate that there's still only a certain amount of teams from the NFC that could make the playoffs.
Right.
But also there's a bigger separation between the Seahawks and the Niners to me than there is Cowboys and Eagles.
Okay. But here's my question. My question is, are you giving this is the best bet on the board because we're doing this segment? Or is this, even if I were in a DraftKings jurisdiction or allowed to bet at DraftKings, I would actually make this
bet? I would
bet
this.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. Seahawks have the sixth hardest remaining schedule in the league. I'm just playing devil's advocate because I think you're right. It's probably the best bet of the NFC teams. They still got to play, besides the Niners twice, right, in division.
Yep.
They still got Philly, Dallas, Baltimore, Cleveland, and I guess Pittsburgh is still a winning team, so they qualify as a winning team, but you get it. They've got a tough schedule. They do have two against the Cardinals. They do have one against the Titans in terms of what are supposed to be the easier games. But you're probably right. Plus 170 on the Seahawks is probably the best bet on the board. Would you like to have a bet with only that bang for your buck in your account for the rest of the season? That's the other thing where just a real life thing comes into the calculus.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm saying this without having looked at what their playoff.
That's a great point
number
too.
Is, and I think you definitely need to compare that.
Yes, you do.
But part of the reason why I picked them right is because I do think they will clearly finish second behind San Francisco and make it in there. And look, there's a chance. The other thing about the NFC, right? There's a chance the Rams finish ahead of them. I still get in on this. Like there is a possibility that happens with how the NFC playoff picture works. And I think when you start getting those, I mean, like, is there another team from NFC North or NFC South that's making a wild card spot? I don't think so.
No, I think it's is that the best bet in the NFC board? Yes. Would I actually make it? Would I be like, oh, I've got to have this in my account? Maybe. Just a real life day. By the way, same thing exists for AFC teams. And to me, it's equally priced kind of well. Again, while these markets are wonderfully creative, do I think that there's a run to the, run to your account bet here? I don't. But it's, you'll get it. The Bills are plus 175, which is interesting that they're the short shot and not the Dolphins. The Dolphins are plus 230. Then you have the Chargers at plus 230. Good God. You would assume, right? But it's the Chargers. and then it's a whole bunch of the AFC North teams. Browns, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, back-to-back-to-back-to-back in there. And then you have the randoms of the Raiders, the Colts, and the Texans, which aren't nearly long enough to justify, right? Because each of those are lower or shorter than 4-1. If you had to make a bet here, what's the bet?
If I had to make a bet, this one I wouldn't first.
This one you would not.
I don't think there is. I don't think there's anything here right now. And you kind of brought up when we were talking NFC at this point in the season.
Yeah.
I don't really think you can bet any of these right now. I think if you were later in the year, Gil, what I'd actually do would just bet the top two.
That is exactly what I was just going to say. And the only way to bet this is bet a unit on the Bills, bet a unit on the Dolphins, and go to sleep for the rest of the year on that.
Yeah, I mean, would I bet that now? No, I wouldn't. You're telling me if we're in the same kind of situation in the AFC 4 weeks from now and you're getting slightly lower odds on this, I would be running to bet that.
Yeah, I don't love either of these markets in terms of the pricing. There isn't like, oh, my God, we've absolutely got to bet this thing. But that's how I would probably bet this. The Chargers, again, are also one that you were like, OK, well, the Chargers, they got to make the postseason, right? No, they don't. They're the Chargers.
Yeah, and I'm already invested in that. So.
and then the problem with the AFC North ones is it's too much of a logjam to figure out who's winning the division and who's not.
Right.
Remember, you've got to not win the division here. So it's this weird pocket where you've got to be good enough again, but not that good. And again, the Ravens and the Bengals have the toughest two remaining strength of schedules in football. The Browns and Steelers do not. So
like that pricing right there is really interesting with the Ravens and Bengals, right? Because we looked at those division odds yesterday.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Ravens being the short shot at, what was that, like plus 140, right?
Right.
And the Bengals were 4-1 to win the division. You look at these odds to make it as a wild card seed.
Well,
let's
get back to our Bills-Dolphins thing where we said, okay, put a unit on each. Well, is that any more likely to happen than putting a unit on both the Ravens and the Bengals? Because even if one of them wins the division, do you think the other is getting it as a wild card? Not everybody can make it as a wild card, right? It's only three teams.
Well, and that's where the AFC's, even though we've said so many, we said at the beginning of the year, the AFC is brutal. This is going to be so tough to figure out who gets in. It took us all 2 weeks to be like, okay, never mind. The AFC opened up a bit. It's still deeper with more talented teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying, but I think
that
would be dicey.
I'm just saying there's too many moving parts here.
Yeah.
The Seahawks plus 175 is the best bet. I'm just not running it.
I think the NFC is a little clearer. I think if you were approaching the AFC market, you got to be thinking, if you were going to put a bet in now, I just wouldn't recommend it right now. But if you were going to do anything, I think it's what we're talking about. It's mixing two of them and betting both.
Anyway, good job by DraftKings having this market up.
I think it's a great market.
It. Hopefully in the NBA, we get play in. And
that's what. So we got the play in. I want the top six seed. Top six.
That's right. We got Will Hill coming up, Mike Pritchard, NFL Power Rankings. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We are always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there, number one. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. The others, Kelly, those other ones.
Step aside.
Number three, number two, but they're not number one like Zyn. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read this one before we get to Will, because Will Hill is waiting patiently. This is Judd O'Connor. He said, have you looked at the totals this week? Good Lord, is this the 2001 NFL? And then he said, hashtag under thunder.
Yeah, you got, five at 40 or less, I believe.
Well, here's the thing. It all also happens to take place before the late window Sunday and the primetime games.
Yeah.
So all of the low totals are bunched into, get ready for this, boys and girls, tomorrow night and the early window on Sunday. So tomorrow night, Jags and Saints.
40.
Okay, then Sunday morning, Raiders, Bears, 37.5. Browns, Colts, 39. Bills, Patriots, 41.5. Commanders, Giants, 39.5. Falcons, Bucks, 38. And then Lions, Ravens, the big one at 42.
Watch out.
What a window that could be.
Yeah, another bit of a weather weekend to be careful of.
Yeah. Always check your Doppler. You know, your Doppler that you have in your backyard. Doppler's not a thing. It's actually electronic, isn't it? Doppler? Yeah. Whatever you have, your Doppler. Will Hill's got one. He joins us now at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. He is not only the star of the Beating the Book Megapod podcast, but also the Bears, what is it? Bear Bets. I was about to say Bears Bet. Bear Bets podcast. Chris Felica's Fox Sports podcast, both pro football and college football versions. This is Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on? Kelly, you know, it's funny. I missed the first few minutes of the show, and this is true. I turned it on, and the first thing I heard was Kelly go, I was yanking it hard. And I was like, what kind of show are they doing today? But
this used to be a family show, Will. It used to be. Not anymore. There you go. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. That's great.
You got to clip that sound. You got to clip that sound and just use it out of context sometimes.
Let's get on. Everybody get on that.
Yeah.
Thanks for noticing, Will, first of all. It's the first thing I'd like to say.
Thanks for bringing it back up.
Yeah. and two, where do you stand on this game tonight in baseball between the Rangers and the Astros? Max Scherzer going up against Christian Javier with the Rangers, a -130 favorite in this one.
This is a tough one. It's very hard to know what you're going to get out of Scherzer. I mean, I don't know if there's no precedent for it, but like you guys were talking about, he hasn't pitched in 5 weeks. This is one of the last times he pitched was in against Houston, gave up 7 runs in 3 innings, gave up 3 homers, pitched pretty well against Toronto a week later. And then we haven't seen him. He's been on the IL. So I played under 12.5 outs for Scherzer. I just think 4 innings is a reasonable expectation. I can't see him pitching into the fifth, definitely not the sixth. I think five innings max would be the most you'd see him. But at 12.5 outs, if he goes 4 innings, gives up a run, they got a bunch of starters that they haven't used. Dane Dunning, Heaney, John Gray. One of them will pitch tomorrow, but the other two are right there for piggyback if you want to go like 2 innings apiece. So I played under 12.5 outs. I don't have a good feel for it. You made a pretty convincing case here for Javier and the Astros at plus money. Javier's got good stuff. I know, you know, he's had some success in the past, had a bad year. Maybe he's turned it around recently, was good against Minnesota, can strike a bunch of people out. So I'm kind of rooting for Houston just so we get some sort of drama in these playoffs. I mean, we can't just have a bunch of sweeps. I know we've had some upsets, so that counteracts it. It hasn't been chalk, even though the series have been quick, but it's a tough handicap. Someone tweeted in, I wrote this for Fox today. My best bet today is Alvarez over 0.5 walks. Alvarez to draw a walk, however you want to phrase it. 2 home runs last game, 6 homers in 6 postseason games. I mentioned this story, and I think it's a funny one. After he retired, Greg Maddux was asked once about facing Barry Bonds and what it was like. And he's like, it was the easiest thing ever, because if the situation mattered, you just walked him. And we're not at that point yet with Alvarez, but we're kind of getting there where it's like, if this game is close, you know what? Pick your battle somewhere else if you're Texas. So I do think that's a good one. So over 0.5 walks for Alvarez and under 12.5 outs for Scherzer.
Yeah, we discussed we actually had a tweet about the Alvarez over a half a walk. I like that bet. What I'm looking forward to, if your bet is to cash the Scherzer under, I'm already looking forward to this, but then I would particularly be looking forward to the awkward Bochy Scherzer exchange at the mound where Scherzer tries to do his, oh, you're not taking me out thing. And Bochy's like, oh, yeah, get out of here, kid. Like, just, hey, you know who I am. Sit down. So I'm looking.
Maybe it happens in the dugout. Maybe after the fourth inning, they're like, all right, that's enough. Because I mean, you can't imagine he's going to go in the fifth or sixth and go through a couple times in the lineup. Like, I'm skeptical that he's going to pitch well. Remember last year, he tried to pitch through an oblique injury with the Mets and he got bombed against the Padres, gave up 4 homers. He's had these in the past where he tries to be a gamer, which I think everyone kind of admires, but it doesn't go well. And it doesn't look as good when it doesn't go well. That being said, like if he's healthy, which I can't imagine they're throwing him out there. If he's not healthy, he hasn't had rehab games, so it's hard to know. It is still Max Scherzer, so I wouldn't be shocked if he gave you a good 4 innings. Like, I don't want to discount him too much. It's a very tricky handicap, to be honest.
Last thing on this, then. If you do think that this goes sideways for the Rangers today, that would make it 2-1. Would you be willing to bet the Astros on a series price before this game?
I was thinking about it. I think Astros to win, you can bet the specific series score. I think Astros to win in 7 is like +550, +575. I don't know that Texas is going to beat them 4 straight games, that Houston's going to beat them 4 straight games. So if you want to just juice it and get more bang for your buck, maybe pick Houston in 7, just because, like I said, I think these teams are evenly matched. I don't know if Houston's going to run off 4 in a row here. So I think it's worth a shot here. I think Houston has a chance to get back in this series. That being said, there's just a lot of uncertainty here with Scherzer.
Sure is. And it would be, I mean, if the Rangers postseason was to reflect their regular season, it would turn on a dime and it would go the other way for them, right? Like that all of a sudden, then they wouldn't be able to hit and they're like losing games left and right. So we'll see if that happens.
Oh, strange.
Yeah, but you're right. For some Major League Baseball drama, we need an Astros win today beyond any of our bets. What about week 7 in the NFL? What did you land on here?
Yo, it's funny. You were talking about the low totals. I don't know. I don't see a lot of these grand salami lines. I really don't play them much. I think we're going to get some overs this week. I don't think the league likes the fact that the Gil Alexanders of the world are going on their show saying, hey, this product's kind of bad. It's, you know, these games are low scoring. These games are ugly. Not to be all conspiracy theory, but I do think there's probably some conversations between the refs and the league of like, all right, let's try to get some offense here. Maybe throw more flags on the defense, maybe throw fewer flags on the offense. I don't think the league loves this narrative that these games are ugly and low scoring. So I actually think we'll see some overs this week. Specifically, I haven't bet a ton of sides. I do like the Chargers +5.5 against the Chiefs. I feel like every one of those games is pretty much the same game where the Chargers are up 3 late, they're down 3 late. I mean, that's basically every Chargers game ever. So those games are usually close. If you're down 10, you can get a backdoor with the Chargers. Chiefs are not the offensive juggernaut. This is a different team. This is more of a defensive team. It's more of a close to the vest. So I could see the Chiefs here playing some closer games. I wouldn't be comfortable taking the Chiefs as a favorite here, laying big points with them going forward. They're not as explosive on offense. So to me, these games are always close. I'll take the 5.5 with the Chargers.
Are you in Circa Millions or any handicapping contest this year?
Yep, I'm in the millions.
How's it going?
Not really a contender. Maybe a couple games over 500. Nothing. Not a contender. I'm not Kelly Bidlin over here.
Yeah. Well, how's Kelly doing now? You still okay in it? You over 60%?
I don't know. I lost as many games when I lost 6 games in the past 2 weeks. That's as many as I lost in the whole first quarter.
Yeah, maybe not. 60%. If we're 60%, we get to talk about our entries. Otherwise, we don't get to talk.
Yeah, I think I'm hovering right around there.
What about college football? Nice college football weekend with Ohio State and Penn State being the headliner.
I like the under in that game. I like the under in Penn State, Ohio State. I think 47 is still out there. I just think that's a close to the vest. Penn State's extremely conservative on offense. I don't love the Ohio State quarterback. Those are two really good defenses, I think underrated defenses. So I could see a 23-20 type of game. So I did bet the under in that. And I know we switched to college, but to me, there are some beatable NFL season win totals still out there. I know we were texting about this.
Yeah.
Like Arizona's still at 4.5, and give Eric Eager credit. He was on the Megapod a couple weeks ago. Like they've been at 4.5 for a few weeks. I know you don't adjust it too much because they're losing as underdogs, but they're 1-5. Their next 3 games are at Seattle. The Browns, the Ravens, one of those games on the road, like they're probably looking at 1-8 soon. I can't see that team getting to 5 wins. So there's a few of them that are still out there. You mentioned Eagles as a wild card +180. That sounds good because I don't know if you've looked at the Eagles schedule. If I gave you a pen and a piece of paper and said, just write down the hardest 8 game stretch you could possibly think of in the NFL, it would be harder to come up with a schedule more difficult than what the Eagles are about to face. It is the Dolphins, the Cowboys twice, the 49ers, the Bills, at the Chiefs, at the Seahawks. There's a good chance Dallas passes them, at least for a little bit here. Schedules at the end get tougher for Dallas as opposed to Philly, but I think Dallas has a good chance to seal that division.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. After the bye in Week 10, it's at Kansas City, home Buffalo, home San Francisco, at Dallas, at Seattle. That's a 5-game gauntlet.
And Miami this week.
And Miami this week. That's right.
Yeah.
That's another one that Eager talked about. He's not as high as high on the Eagles as others seem to be for multiple reasons. You got to listen to the Megapod to find out all the reasons. Will, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the baseball.
All right. Appreciate it. Bear Bets Podcast, twitch.tv/GoldBoysNetwork.
At not the Will Hill from Will Hill. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always. Got the Gold Boys in there. Gold Boys doing big things. Okay. We'll come back. NFL Power Rankings on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, the Majestic D. By the way, where the music downstairs when we pull up gets louder and louder every morning. Yeah, I can't hear you. I'm sorry, we can't hear you. No, can't hear you.
Still can't hear me.
Now we can hear you. There we go. At least maybe the rest of the people could. I could. This is interesting. So I just want to follow up on some things we talked about here real quick before we get to power rankings. Michael Montesano, who won the booby prize at Circa the first year of Millions. He was chiming in on our conversation about that wild card market. And he makes a great point. You brought this up about always with these markets, check pricing, not from sportsbook to sportsbook, but even within the same sportsbook.
Yeah.
So take the Rams, for instance. I think we all kind of agree that the Rams are not going to win the NFC West. Can we do we all agree on that?
Yes, I agree.
They're not going to overcome
Concur.
Both the Niners and the Seahawks. Thank you, John McLaughlin. Thank you. You should just do that every day. Concur. Disagree.
Cutting off guests that way.
The Rams to make the playoffs. Yeah. To make the playoffs is a yes, no. To make the playoffs is plus 115. A wild card seed is plus 180.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
So that's, if you're betting them to make the playoffs at plus 115, that is a ridiculously bad bet.
Yeah.
When you have this other market.
So the same kind of way I was looking up what it rang the bells, because we talk about this all the time. I mean, this is a.
Yes.
If you are someone out there, goes to VSiN.com and checks our pro tips, this pro tip is used, I don't know, once every 2 weeks of shop around within the same sports book for different ways to make the same sort of bet. That's what that's what you guys are talking about right there.
Yeah.
I went and did it as soon as Will brought up the thing about the Eagles Cowboys. It's okay. Compare that price to what is the Cowboys do to win the division price. Cowboys win division plus 140. You're getting plus 170 on the Eagles to make it as a wild card seat. So if you were going to bet that way, if you were going to bet, you wanted to bet the Cowboys to win the division.
You shouldn't do it.
The
that
better
way.
Bet was to make it made that.
That's a great point.
As
too.
Long as you, I guess you believe the Eagles are good enough to make the playoffs.
Yes, but point taken. Right. No, exactly. That there, it could be a bet on a different team could be the better bet.
Right.
By proxy. Michael Montesano also sent this tweet because I was going off yesterday about how, while I still think Justin Herbert obviously has all the physical tools to be a great quarterback, I was making the point yesterday that, and I hope people took it in the right context, which is, hey, you know, at some point, this is after the Cowboys-Chargers game, at some point, we got to actually hold Justin Herbert responsible for some stuff. Like, I hate to break it to y'all, but Brandon Staley isn't the cause of everything that goes wrong with that team.
It's a great point. There's just so many of these NFL storylines we get wrapped up in. And like the Brandon Staley one now has been going for years where it's like any other problem gets overlooked.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a tweet from It's Lamar on X. It's Lamar SZN season. It's Lamar season, I guess he's trying to say. Herbert had the ball. This is the Chargers' three losses this season. Herbert had the ball at the end of the game, but couldn't get into field goal range against the Dolphins. Herbert got the ball in overtime, but went three and out against the Titans. Herbert had the ball at the end of the game, but threw an interception against the Cowboys. So again, Brandon Staley ain't the guy on the field. I'm just saying, and we juxtaposed it against Tua Tagovailoa yesterday. Why? Because, famously, in the 2020 NFL draft, Tua went to Miami at 5. Justin Herbert went to the Chargers at 6. And, you know, the narrative that we've heard through the years is, oh, Tua's just, he's just not the player that Justin Herbert is. And maybe he's not. Maybe he's not. And if you threw Justin Herbert on the Dolphins and you threw Tua on the Chargers, maybe the Dolphins score 5 billion points. I don't know. But you are just, you're so dependent on your circumstance in the NFL. And it's never one person's fault. And it's never one person doing everything. Mm-hmm. And Tua, we said the full records, Justin Herbert was 27 and 28 lifetime, and Tua was what? I can't remember offhand.
This is, while you're looking that up, this works both ways, right? This is, it's always the Brandon Staley easy target, so we go after him, and you want to overlook Justin Herbert.
That's
things.
Correct.
And then I always think about this with...
Tua's 26 and 14.
There you go. Yeah. I always think about this with Baltimore, too. I mean, God forbid we ever say a bad word about John Harbaugh.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? When the Ravens offense has a bad game, Lamar Jackson gets killed for it, and we never... I mean, God forbid we ever say anything bad about Harbaugh.
And then I took the Tua thing, and I'm like, just to sort of emphasize, I'm not saying I think Tua's great. I actually have a Tyreek Hill ticket to win MVP and a Brock Purdy to win Offensive Player of the Year because I'm going the other way on this. Tyreek Hill, just the other night, just the other game for the Dolphins against the Panthers. Was it the Panthers this week? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek threw for 262 yards. 163 were to Tyreek. And again,
Tyreek threw to Tyreek?
I mean, 163 to Tyreek. 262 of Tua, 163 to Tyreek. And... again, we did that. We talked about yards and touchdowns. Over 42% of both Tua's yards and his touchdowns are to Tyreek Hill. Who's the MVP, I ask? He's on pace to get 2,300 yards. No one's ever gotten to 2,000. And if Tua gets to 5,000, 15 other quarterbacks have done 5,000. So anyway, you know what it's time for.
Hit it.
Power ratings.
Plug it in. Power it up.
Also power rankings. Not just power ratings. I botched that. 107.7 the bone. All right. So again, this is a tough week to do this, right? Because a lot of people are gonna be like, what do you mean they lost? What do you mean they lost? Niners are still number one.
Yeah.
Still number one to me. They had a lot of injuries, inclement weather. You may act like it's an excuse, but I don't think it's anything to knock them down from the number one perch. And by the way, let me just say this. The injury reports all came back really good for the Niners. Everybody, if they're not going to play this week, it's clear that there aren't long-term injuries to anybody. Deebo, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams. Trent Williams, obviously, who came back and played against Cleveland. But even with Deebo and Christian McCaffrey, they could play this week. So, and even if they don't, it'll be soon. Niners are number one. I don't hold that loss. They could still, with all of that, with the injuries, with the weather, and with the horrible calls by the refs. I mean, horrible. They still could have won that game if Jake Moody sinks that field goal. So they're number one. Eagles are number two. A lot of people are going to be like, come on, they lost to the Jets. Hey, you know what? They're allowed to make one horrible mistake at the end of a football game, which it was. And Jalen Hurts wasn't good. But I'm going to keep them at number two. I'm not going to overreact. Chiefs remain number three. Dolphins are four. Ravens are five for me. The Bills are the one in that 3-6 musical chairs thing that go down to six because I allowed them in my power rankings to stay there after the London game at three or four, wherever I had them. But then after losing this, after beating the Giants, we have to keep reminding ourselves they actually won that game against the Giants.
They dropped two spots.
But even with the victory, I take them down from 4-6. Cowboys are seven. They're exactly who we thought they were. The Seahawks should have beaten the Bengals. They had three chances to do it. I'm not going to overreact to them.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Give the Browns credit because they did find a way to beat the Niners, and it wasn't with Deshaun Watson. It was with P.J. Walker, so I put them up to nine. I'm sorry. This is where people are going to hate me. I still have the Chargers 10 over the Lions. I'm sorry. I just do.
Yeah, I did. So your same 10 just reshuffled a little bit. I did.
Oh,
I
same do 10.
Yeah, I do have a I have a new entry
into
my top 10.
Okay.
I did look, I think I looked at the top similar to you. It was a lot of the top teams struggled this week, either lost or struggled to win, right? So, I left mine pretty much the same. Yeah, exactly the same 1 through 5. Niners, Chiefs, Eagles. I hear you on the Bills. I didn't know if I should reshuffle or not there. I kind of I did use the cop out. They beat the Dolphins situation. Yeah. So I went Bills, then Dolphins.
That Dolphins win is keeping them, afloat here. You can't keep having bad games.
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
I hear you. And then there's the Lions shooting up to six on my board.
Yeah. You're more consensus than me on them.
Yeah, I am. Yep, yeah. And two spots up for them. Two spots up. And look, I mean, I'm not going to go crazy over a win over the Buccaneers, but still, a win's a win. And they keep putting them together. Ravens then at seven. I think it was kind of like the Bills Ravens thing that really threw me off here. And in how far to drop the Cowboys, where the Cowboys get slotted. I punished them a little this week, Gil. I did. Sure, it's fine. I'm dropping them to eight. This team is just. I don't.
I just don't know if they are exactly
who we thought they are. I punished somehow both them and the Chargers after they played each other.
Yeah.
Because the Chargers fell out. I got Cowboys 8, Browns 9, Seahawks move up to 10, which I think they're going to keep moving up for me. And the Chargers go out.
So our only difference is you have the Lions in, you have them at 6, and I have the Chargers in, I have them at 10. I have the Lions at 11, by the way. If the Lions do perform well against the Ravens, that will obviously be the end of me not having them in the top 10.
Yeah, hard to avoid.
But it's just, I just need to see. I know they beat the Chiefs week one on the Thursday game, but it's been a long time since then. So they got to beat somebody, and this would be that somebody. And even if they don't win, if they perform well. Someone was saying to me yesterday, what about those trends, though, where, like, if you come back from London and play, you're going to play poorly anyway. Shouldn't you slow down on immediately saying the Lions will be in your top 10? I'm not going to let that affect. Lions would be in my top 10 regardless of that.
It's an interesting trend. I think there's something too, but it's such a small sample size right now too. Be careful.
11 total games in that sample size of teams that elect to play the week after London. That's what applied to the Ravens this week. We'll come back. Mike Pritchard on both college and the NFL. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.